This morning, you're invited to open your Bibles, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 18. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 18. A reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 18. Hear now these words. Then Jehu assembled all the people and said to them, Ahab offered Baal small service, but Jehu offered much more. Now therefore summon to me all the prophets of Baal, all his worshippers, all his priests, let none be missing. For I have a great sacrifice offered to Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live. But Jehu was acting with cunning in order to destroy the worshippers of Baal. Jehu decreed, Sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal. So they proclaimed it. Jehu sent word throughout all Israel. All the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was no one left who did not come. They entered the temple of Baal until the temple of Baal was filled from wall to wall. He said to the keeper of the wardrobe, Bring out the vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. So he brought out the vestments for them. Then Jehu entered the temple of Baal with Jehoiakim, son of Rechab. And he said to the worshippers of Baal, Search and see that there is no worshipper of the Lord here among you, but only worshippers of Baal. Then they proceeded to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had stationed 80 men outside, saying, Whoever allows any of those to escape whom I deliver in your hand shall forfeit his life. As soon as he finished presenting the burnt offering, Jehu said to the guards and the officers, Come in and kill them, let no one escape. So they put them to the sword. The guards and officers threw them out, and they went to the citadel of the temple of Baal. They brought the pillar that was in the temple of Baal and burned it. Then they demolished the pillar of Baal, and destroyed the temple of Baal, and made a latrine to this day. Thus Jehu wiped out Baal from Israel. But Jehu did not turn aside from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and Dan. The Lord said to Jehu, Because you have done well and carried out what I consider right, in accordance with all that was in my heart, and have dealt with the house of Ahab, your sons, the four generations, will sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu was not careful to follow the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. And he did not turn from the sins of Jeroboam, which caused Israel to commit. And in those days, the Lord began to trim all parts of Israel. Hazael defeated them throughout the territory of Israel, from Jordan eastward to the land of Gilead. The Gedites, the Reubenites, the Marzites from Aroer, which is by Wadi Arnon, that is Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, all that he did, and all his power, are they not written in the book of annals of the kings of Israel? So Jehu slept with his ancestors, and they buried him in Samaria. His son Jehoshaphat succeeded him. The time that Jehu reigned over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. My friends, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. So this morning, because of Kings, we have some verses here about the reign of King Jehu. And at first, when you read this chapter, you think he's off to a pretty good start. When you begin with chapter 10, he's doing a roundup of all King Ahab's relatives, and he is cleaning house. And he had divine authority to do this. You may recall how the prophet Elisha sent a messenger to Jehu when he was commander and said, You're now king of Israel, and your job is to wipe out the family of Ahab for all the wickedness and evil they have brought upon the land. That was God's divine judgment. And I'd like to tell folks, If you want to know the severity of someone's sin, look at the severity of God's punishment against them. The more severe the punishment, the more severe the sin was to begin with. But we do see in chapter 10, though, where Jehu exceeds orders and kills folks who should not have been killed. So much so that one of the prophets will come along and says judgment has to fall upon the house of Jehu for shedding blood that should not have been shed. So important when God gives you a command, you obey that command and then you stop. It's like when you're a kid and you play Simon Says, and Simon Says take two steps, and you take two steps. But if you take three, you're out of the game. And that happens so often in Scripture where people exceed what God tells them. Well, then we get to verse 18 to this interesting story. And so Jehu has a presidential address. And he says, hey, you know, Ahab, he worshiped Baal a little bit. I worship him so much more. I want all the priests, the prophets, the worshipers of Baal to come to town. And if I find anybody left out, I'm going to have them killed. I want everybody to come to town to the temple of Baal. We're going to have a big old celebration, worship. And so everybody thought, oh man, so this is our man right here. He's worshiped Baal. And so throughout the whole land of Israel, all the Baal prophets and priests and worshipers all came down to the Baal temple, filled it wall to wall. I think about how, you know, the fire marshal, if you feel wall to wall, he comes by and writes you a ticket. You go to central inside the gym, there's a little sign that says maximum occupation 1,499. I don't know why they can say even 1,500, but it's 1,499, right? And so every year of graduation, we got to say we got this many folks can come in, and we got this many teachers and this many students. We got a handful of guests there from the school board, and then the rest we divide by the students. Say you've got so many tickets to give to your kin folks. You can decide how many folks you like the best to come to the graduation. Well, here the temple was filled from wall to wall. It'd be like you came in here and had chairs out and such, and folks in the choir, and it's packed out. And then Jehu tells guys, he said, make sure everybody's dressed up, pass out the garments. They pass out the garments. And then he says, everybody look around, make sure nobody here who's worshiped the Lord. The RIM out. So they look around, and I'm like, no, it's all us. We're all on the same team, Team Baal. And so Jehu gets up and he offers a sacrifice to Baal. And the folks in the audience thinking, all right, this will be their King Ahab, worshiper Baal. Happy days are here again. But what they did not realize, though, that this was a sting operation. Outside the temple were 80 folks of the army. And King Jehu told them and says, here's the deal, boys. When I give the signal, you go in. And if anybody escapes from that temple alive, you die in their place. You find that is a rule of law with the military in ancient times. If you're in charge of killing someone and they escape, you die in their place. You need to remember that when you get towards Easter time and you hear folks say, I don't think Jesus really died. I think he kind of escaped. No. Ain't no Roman soldier gonna let somebody get off the cross not dead. That gets you killed. They were given orders. No one escapes. And so he gives a signal. Come in and kill them. And let no one escape. And so thus you had a bloody massacre going on. All these false prophets and false priests who thought they were back in business suddenly find they were out of business. And then they take out these false idols and such and destroy them, burn them. And then just to add the insult to injury, they said they destroyed the temple of Baal and made a latrine to this day. In other words, they made it to the restroom. Made it very clear, Baal is gone. He's out of business. Now, you would think that after all the wickedness of Ahab and the the child offering sacrifices, the way that they had prosecuted the prophets, that with Jehu coming in and cleaning house at the beginning of his reign, this is a man who's going to do the right thing. But instead, we find someone who's kind of a half and half. It says, but Jehu did not turn aside from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and in Dan. Okay, what's all that about? Well, you got to rewind the tape a little bit, okay? And as a refresher, you got Abraham, and God bless Abraham, call him out of the pagan nation, the nation of idols, and said, I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations shall be blessed. And Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. And the Lord later changed his name to Israel, and Jacob had the 12 sons. And so those came to the 12 tribes of Israel. And that gets us to the time of the book of Exodus, and Moses, the prophet, who leads the people out of Egyptian bondage and gives them the Ten Commandments. That's part of God's blessing. Then you have Joshua leading him to the Promised Land, the Battle of Jericho. And then you have the time of chaos, the time of the judges, where God would raise up men and women like Gideon and Samson and Deborah. And then finally the time came when Samuel came along, was the judge. And Samuel was Saul. He was tall. And Saul got fired. And then you had King David. And then King David's son, King Solomon. But when Solomon was an old man, his heart was turned away from God. And he began to worship idols because of the wives he had married as part of these peace deals. And so God told Solomon, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. But because of your love your father David had for me, I will not do it in your lifetime. I'll do it after your death. And so Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. Meanwhile, a prophet went down to a guy named Jeroboam and said, Jeroboam, the Lord has appointed you to be king of 10 tribes. And when Solomon heard about this, he tried to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam went to Egypt and hid out. And then when Rehoboam became king, he told the people, said, you think my dad's tough? I'm going to show you who's boss. They rebelled and broke off and made Jeroboam their king. And then Jeroboam made a terrible decision. You see, when Jeroboam looked at the map, he had lion's share. He had 10 tribes. But King Jeroboam had the tribe of Judah and the capital of Jerusalem. And most importantly, what was in the capital of Jerusalem? The temple. And so his people would, from time to time, cross the border to go to Judah, to Jerusalem, to the temple to worship. Now, if Jeroboam was smart about it, he would say, that's all right. It was the Lord who gave me this kingdom. It was the Lord who sent a prophet to say, you will be the king of these 10 tribes. That's fine. And my people want to go up to Jerusalem a couple times a year and worship the Lord, let them do it. That's fine. We can do that. But instead, he came up with a little scheme. He created two golden calves and set them up in the town of Bethel and Dan and told the people, you need to quit going up to Jerusalem and worship that temple. Those days are gone. You go, say, here in town and worship these golden calves. Now, question, where did he get the idea about the golden calf from, I wonder? The book of Exodus, right? Have you ever seen the movie Charlton Heston? You know about this. While Moses was up on the mountain, the people got impatient. Where is this God? We can't see him. We want a God we can see. And so they go to Moses' big brother, Aaron. Aaron, make us an idol we can worship. And Aaron, in the moment of weakness, being stupid, said, well, okay, I'll do that. And most likely he made what was really a young bull. And I think Moses, he saw, he got mad and said, "This is a calf." Okay, he's being sarcastic a lot. Because, no, the Egyptians worship young bulls. We can find those in their pyramids. And what did our psalmist say? Now, we just read this a little while ago. It says, "And God saved them from the land of their hand of their foe, delivered them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed God's words. They sang God's praise." But then we had to turn that page. "They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped a molten image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." So quickly, they've gone what God did in Egypt, those 10 plagues, parting the Red Sea, destroying the Egyptian army. And notice what it says here about how they exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox eats grass. If that sounds familiar, I think that's because Apostle Paul was somewhat referring to that when he wrote his famous letter to the Romans and talking about people in his society, the Greeks and the Romans, who has changed the glory of God, the Creator, for images of the creation. Think about how the Greeks and Romans would worship all these false idols and gods. And Paul said, they have changed the glory of God, the Creator, for these images, these idols, made of their hands, of created creatures. And so, if you think about it, you can create a little timeline, can't you? You can draw a line on the map, or a timeline, rather. There's Aaron, very foolishly, making a golden calf while big little brothers on the mountain getting God's commandments. Draw a line from the time of Moses and Joshua and Judges, past King Saul and David and Solomon, to King Jeroboam, where he's making these golden calves to have folks worship them. And then you draw a line again to the various kings of Israel, all of them wicked, to King Jehu, who told the people, quit worshiping Baal. Worship those calves. How foolish. And it's like history repeats itself, because it was a prophet of God who told Jehu that he'd be king. And yet, just like Jeroboam, Jehu ignored the God who made him king, and instead turned his worship and hearts to two calves. And the result was that during his time, it's talking about how the kingdom chipped away. Verse 31 says, "But Jehu was not careful to follow the law of the Lord, the God, with all his heart. And he did not turn away from the sin of Jeroboam, which he caused Israel to commit. And in those days, the Lord began to trim off parts of Israel." You see, partial obedience is disobedience. And so often in our society, we think, well, I did this and this, that's good enough. But no, "Hear ye, O Israel, Lord our God is one. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength." No, it's not "I surrender some," it's "I surrender all." Jehu made a terrible mistake when he only surrendered partly to God's will. He surrendered enough to get rid of the Baal worshipers. And it's like, that's okay, but I don't get too much in this God stuff. That's my next door neighbor. We'll worship these golden idols instead. And in doing so, God allowed the enemies to chip away at the kingdom of Israel. So my prayer this morning is that we not be like Jehu and we worship God with part of our heart, but rather we surrender all. And we worship the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, all our mind, and all our spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right.